Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1461, air date June 21st, 2024.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Shiva Adre. Today we're going to have a very, very good conversation about a very important topic, about how the swarm demoralizes you to die. And we're going to go into that. It's not a hyperbole. And how our movement inspires you to act. That's what we're going to be talking about. And we're going to do it in the context of our town hall every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. There's a town hall going on right now. We've been doing this every week for over the last year. And you all are invited to attend. And you can see right here, Thursdays, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. You can go to bashiva.com/orientation and join this town hall. But again, to those of you joining, we're going to have a conversation about how the swarm demoralizes you to die and how we inspire you to act. As many of you know, we are building a bottoms-up movement, and that movement has two components. One, to educate you on the dynamics, really the system dynamics of how the swarm works, so you get off your butt and start acting. And then, separate from that, we also get you on the ground. We come up with important actions so you can actually experience being a human being, not being a robot, which is what the swarm wants you to do. And tonight's conversation is going to be perhaps one of the important discussions that we're going to have on this topic. But before we start, I want to encourage all of you to support what we're doing, get involved in the movement for truth, freedom, health. I want to play you a video that will give you a deep understanding of what our movement's about, and then we'll come back shortly with our town hall. So here we go. Trey, you're going to take over, right?
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you. Deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. When we're live there.
Right
now. Okay, make it full screen there, Trey. Okay.
Got it.
For a second. Okay. All right. Welcome everyone. This is Dr. Shivaya Dure. I want to welcome everyone. In our town hall, we do these town halls, as Trey has in the banner down there, every Thursdays. We do one at 11 a.m. We did it with our European and Asian counterparts. And then we do it here in the United States for all of North America, plus actually parts of Asia Pacific, which wakes up around now. Our movement is a global movement, and it is dedicated to shattering the swarm. And if you want to know what the swarm is, go to shatter the swarm.com and you'll get an understanding. But beyond the term swarm, it is the 0.00001% who essentially subjugate the 8 billion of us. Our movement provides you the technical training. That's the best way to say it, the technical training to understand how a small set of people, few, control the many. If you want to change the world, you have to understand dynamics of how things work, how the gears all work. So that's the first piece. But the most compelling thing our movement does is to get you to act. Now, why do I want to start there? Well, I'll give you a story that interconnects all of this in a very, very deep and profound way. That story is in 1983. Some of you have heard about it, but repetition is okay. Some of you may know 1982. I'd come to MIT in 81, and I was there about a year. MIT has a very, very interesting program that they call the Undergraduate Research Opportunities Program. Some of you may know MIT is the number one technology institute in the world. The Department of Computer Science is number one. All the engineering divisions. It's essentially this very high-tech, vo-tech institute. It's really vocational technical institute for engineers. So I got to MIT purely by the fact that my mother helped two homeless women who didn't have a place to stay. And one of the friends of that person said I should go to MIT. I didn't even know about it, although even though I was number one in my class in math and engineering out of 900 kids in a pretty big school in New Jersey, I created the email. You would think someone would tell me about the number one institute, but no one did. I found out in a very fortuitous way. But when I came to MIT, I was very interested in systems, how systems of power worked. So I used to also be a pretty good soccer player. I was playing varsity soccer that year. And this guy literally was watching me from the sidelines. And he knew I was an activist also. I was very interested in politics and was not just interested,
but was an activist on campus. So he pulled me aside after I got off practice and he said, oh, you should go meet Noam Chomsky. And I said, who's Noam Chomsky? He said, oh, he's the great linguist. He's like the radical of our times. Noam Chomsky had written a book called Manufacturing Consent, which was his, you know, his real treatise. One must understand, next to Jesus Christ, Noam Chomsky is the most cited academic in the world, which I didn't know at the time. So citations are, so let's say Delio wrote a book in academia, you're supposed to publish. And let's say everyone in the world cited his work because it was an eminent piece of work. You're considered a top-notch or widely acclaimed academic. Well, Noam Chomsky, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't even know who he was. So I just followed this guy's advice and I had to fill out some paperwork. I had to submit a proposal and I wanted to study the caste system. So I started studying with Chomsky and every week he and I would meet, we'd have about a half an hour conversation on different topics. He had known the Indian prime minister. So he'd give me his ideas about that. He'd give me different books to read. Anyway, this went on for 13 weeks. And the last day when this independent study ended, I turned to him and I said, so Professor Chomsky, what do you think about the world? Where are we headed? So this is 1982. At that time, the Reagan administration was in. The United States government was butchering, using death squads, people in Guatemala, people in El Salvador. We had just come out of the 1970s where the U.S. had, you know, U.S. was essentially following the domino principle put in force by Kennedy under Kissinger. Kennedy is the biggest imperialist on the world. Okay. But throughout Latin America, the people of Latin America were being massively abused, literally butchered. Priests were being butchered by death squads. Okay. So I was an activist on these things. So Chomsky looks to me and he says, well, you know, we're at the cul-de-sac of humanity. And you can look at the word, what cul-de-sac means. You know, if you're going down a road and there's an end, there's it's a dead end. And he said, you know, human beings are meant to die and there's nothing much you can do. So this is the greatest guy I'm sitting next to, the number one anti-establishment guy on the planet, who's written Manufacturing Consent, and everyone bows down to Chomsky. And I'm looking at him, I'm saying, what a douchebag. Okay. So years later, I ran a protest for apartheid, against apartheid at MIT. And there were three wings of that movement. One wing was totally in support of apartheid. Another wing were the liberal kids who wanted to just sing We Shall Overcome, praise Martin Luther King, and talk about something 10,000 miles away. And there was us, the revolutionary wing. We said, let's connect the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa to what goes on to working people right here, black and white. All right. The liberal wing wanted to invite Chomsky. He came and he gave a demoralizing speech, how you can't do anything, we're all screwed, da, da, da. So I booed him off stage. Anyway, we kept in touch. He had a lot of respect for me because he knew, you know, us and our movement at that time even were the real deal. So he had to keep us on watch. Anyway, but if you ever went to a Chomsky lecture at MIT, whenever there was a major crisis, the U.S. invaded here, Iraq war, you know, they would fill up the auditorium at MIT, 3,000 people show up and be Noam Chomsky giving a talk on his position. Typically be not just an hour talk, but 3 hours. People would leave, putting their head down, completely demoralized. And remember, these were very smart intellectual nerds all over Cambridge who'd come wanting to hear the great Noam Chomsky. But I would watch this and I was saying, what the fuck? Everyone's totally demoralized. Like no one wants to do anything. Because by the time you were done, he would give clear indications how this was occurring and that was occurring and how this and that. So you would get a footnoted account of the brutality of the swarm, imperialism. But the end note was you can't do anything. Now, I always had in the back of my mind, why was Chomsky an institute professor at MIT? What is an institute professor? First of all, when you come in as a PhD, you can go into the professor track. So you start out, well, first you do a postdoc to write some papers, and you go to a 7-year, I think it's an assistant professor track. And then if you get tenure, you become an associate professor, and I may have those flipped. And then if you get, then you can become a full professor. And then when you retire, you become an emeritus professor, which is a high honor. But the highest level at MIT was called institute professor, only about 4 of them. Chomsky was an institute professor. And I always wondered, how did he get this amazing award
if he was so much against the establishment, you see? So it was always in the back of my mind. And many years later, fast forward to, 20 years later, I had just come back from India exposing the Indian government. And I was visiting various professors, just randomly. And at that time is when my stuff had gone in the Smithsonian at MIT. And not, Smithsonian, I was teaching at MIT, of course. And all the fabricated controversy comes up. So it's going across everywhere. And I'm in Chomsky's office. And I wanted to see if he'd do anything. I said, look, Noam, here's all the data. Here's my copyright notice, I created email. You should say something. So he was almost put on the spot. So he wrote something to the effect, basically saying, it's the facts are obvious. This guy invented email and it's unfortunate this took place and should not occur. Later, a couple of nights later, he calls me. It was like midnight. He was fearful, afraid. And MIT had called him and was upset why he was supporting me. And I was unsure why he was so upset MIT had called him, because if you're a fighter, you say, fuck off, right? But he was visibly shaken. And he goes, my home institution is calling me. And I said, Noam, what are you saying? And anyway, he wanted to capitulate, right? Because he was under pressure. But he knew if he did that he would get my wrath. So he sort of stepped back, okay? So anyway, that occurred. You guys may know about a month ago, we had one of our volunteers who had recollected a story when she had gone to hear a Chomsky talk in New York, where 500 elite academics were invited. It was a closed room talk. She got in because she snuck in, okay? Because one of her friends, got her in. But in this talk, these professors were invited to literally, there's a hierarchy in the priesthood of professors. Chomsky's way up there, like he's God. Seriously, literally. And Chomsky begins to talk, and I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this, but according to this woman, he begins the talk by saying, we must do everything possible to prevent a bottoms-up workers' movement in the United States. Let that sink in, what I just said. This is early 1990s. Okay? Who's in power then? I think, was it Clinton or Bush? One of those guys, okay? We must do everything to prevent a bottoms-up workers' revolution in the United States. We must create a world of technocrats, which means nerds, who run this country. That was the beginning highlight, okay? And then he proceeded, not in 1 hour, not in two, not in three, 4 hours, four-hour talk, to get all of these academics on the same page. And the way that they were, and the key goal of all of this is to demoralize people into inaction. Inaction. And that's when the lights went off for me. Not lights went off. It just connected everything I had suspected. Everything. Suspected and seen. You see, sometimes you have something in your head, then you see it, and then you see another big piece of data, and it just like just makes everything even more so profoundly powerful, especially if you are on the ground like I am and doing this every day. And what message I'm constantly figuring out, what is the education I need to do so you guys can continue to evolve like I'm evolving and grow. And the message is that entire talk to the elite academics in the Northeast, which is where all the shit occurs, was to make sure that they were going to make sure, all of them, because remember, you don't get to be an academic in major institutions without serious Zionist cocksucking, okay? Seriously. You don't. And the goal of this was to, that meeting was to make sure that everything would be done to demoralize all of you to never act. Never act. Never build a bottoms-up movement. That is what this is about. Truth, Freedom, Health is the only movement on the fucking planet which is square-faced, targeted, saying we must build a bottoms-up movement with The framework of education of understanding how the elites work and kicking people's butt to get on the ground. Hey, go collect some signatures. Go do this. Because the elites in that meeting wanted everyone to go into inaction, to demoralize you to inaction and to accept the lesser of, you have to say it's not two evils, multiple evils. That's the goal. Let me repeat that again. The entire tactic, and I'm going to get into the details. The entire goal was to demoralize you to never appreciate your power to act and the 8 billion of us. How the fuck do you think they're getting 100,000 people or keeping 8 billion in bondage? How do they do this? You think North Korea, we're in the United States, we're bombarded. North Korea is this amazing fascist country. The United States is the most fascist country. And they do it so beautifully through propaganda, through Hollywood, through so many distractions. All of you know who are collecting signatures, how difficult all these people saw my videos. You know, Marianne, you got 1,000 people in your database who saw my videos, gave their name. Crystal, you know. Rose, you know. And you call them, oh, I love Dr. Shiva's video. Well, will you help me collect signatures? Right? It's like you're moving matter. It's like you're going to the weight room and you're trying to lift 300 pounds off your chest. But what we are doing is training our leaders how to move that matter. That's what they don't want us to do. So people come to me and, oh, well, you know, I called and no one wants to answer the phone. What are you talking about? We have to figure out how to move people. A bunch of people got into this little tugboat called a Mayflower, went 6,000 miles and came to the United States. Immigrants who came here have massive resourcefulness. We figure out how to get shit done. And the establishment has demoralized the average American to whine and whine and whine and whine, to never do anything, not only the United States, globally, to make everyone dependent on the state. But anyway, this meeting was about how to demoralize you. Think about that. 500 brainiacs sitting in a meeting deciding that you must be demoralized, never to build a bottoms-up movement. What are we doing? We are working people getting together every Thursday, figuring out how to build a bottoms-up movement. Are we not? This is probably the most important talk that I've given in a long time. But this is at the heart of the issue. These people got together in a room to conduct this, to make sure that people do not act in action and for you to choose a lesser of evils. Now, how did they do this? Well, first of all, Chomsky is a linguist. The CIA funds the linguistic departments of most academic institutions. The CIA is always into two departments, anthropology and linguistics. Ask anyone, oh, you're in linguistics, ching, ching. You know, lights go off, CIA, 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 danger, danger, okay? What is linguistics about? Well, Chomsky wrote a book. I don't have it here. I have books, people, my friends taken them and never returned them. But the book was called Language is Thought. Language is Thought. You see, in the Tamil language, the oldest language on the planet, there are at least 10 different words for the word love. In the English language, you just have one word, love, like love, right? Heart, that's it. But in many ancient languages, there are much more profound words that there were feelings I can't even convey to you because there's no word for it in the English language. Language is thought. Language is thought. So when you limit language, you constrain people's thought. This is why I call people Booby fucking Kennedy. No one is going to constrain my thought. They want us to constrain our thoughts. Oh, Zionist cocksucker, you should be saying that. Aren't you an educated MIT guy? No, you're a fucking Zionist cocksucker. Those words are very, very important because they convey a thought about exploitation in a very simple way. Language has been used to manipulate people. The first time one country invades another country, what is the first thing they do? They change the language. Change language. I remember being a kid in Bombay. I went to school and I was beaten for speaking Tamil. I remember this. People who spoke Spanish in the United States were beaten. When you change someone's language, you change their thought. So in this meeting, they decide that they must change language and confuse people with language. And they realize that fear was not sufficient to keep all of you guys down. Fear was not sufficient. And the example Chomsky gave in this meeting was, you know, and I know him because he tells these stories like this, you know, imagine a car is coming and there's a child there and the mother's on the side and it's about to hit the kid. The mother, in spite of the fear of that car hitting her, will throw herself in front of that car and save the child, right? That means fear is not compelling enough to stop people. But there is one emotion that is, it's called despair. If the mother thinks that regardless of her trying to move, there's nothing she can do, that the kid's going to hit, she's going to stay on the sideline. And this was, again, in the 1960s, a famous set of experiments called learned helplessness. They did it with mammals. And with language and images and video and social media, they can do it with profound execution. Every day, show you pictures of Palestinian babies. I'm watching their guts out. I'm wondering, why are they putting so much of those videos out there? So much. You put enough of those out there over and over and over and over and over again. And you're saying, well, I guess we can't do anything. Israel keeps going into Rafah. They keep getting more. What do? They just got 50 F-35s. I don't know if you saw that. The government approved, two congressmen approved, they were on the committee, who are both funded, who got both. So this is how these two congressmen both get funded by Lockheed Martin. I looked it up. These two congressmen also got in aggregate $1.5 million from AIPAC. They're the ones making the decision. Does the deal go through? So the United States gave in 2024 Israel $15.2 billion. Israel gets our money, your tax dollars, and then takes $3 billion, goes to Lockheed Martin, gives it to them. Transfer of wealth. So these two congressmen get funded by Lockheed Martin and AIPAC. They're getting breaded on both sides. Okay, so anyway, you see all these pictures coming from Israel. Israel gets more money, more weapons, and all these grifters on social media keep putting pictures of babies being attacked. What do you think that does to someone's brain? Well, you can't do anything. Hey, can you help us collect signatures? No, look, Israel's doing all this. What to do? What can I do? I just, little old me, what can I do, right? This process was engineered at that meeting. And at that meeting, they said, we must make sure people become desperate. They have no, now how do you become desperate? You become desperate if you have no inspiration, if you have no one fighting out there, no one even winning small battles. So you never want to teach people any history. So in this meeting, the key goal was that if you want to control the present, you have to control the past. And if you want to control the future, you better use the present to rewrite history of the past. You see what I'm saying? So it was very important. Remember, these are professors of sociology, history, to make sure no one learned two things, the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution. Okay? It was the Russian Revolution where people rose up, working people rose up, and they did hang the bankers. And it was a bottoms-up movement. They don't want to teach us that. Oh my God, people will get ideas. And that was what was said at this meeting. We don't want to teach people that because people may get ideas. Okay? They don't want that. And they surely do not. This is why when I've done many of these videos, I ask how many people knew that in the Haymarket Square, it was poor American workers who were hanged. That was a reason for the inspiration of May Day. 99.999% of Americans don't even know that. Why? Do you understand how much propaganda the elites have done to America? So at this meeting, it was decided we should make sure no one knows about that. And if you truly study the Russian Revolution, when it began, it was bottoms up. It grew, but 19 countries tried to invade Russia. Russia, The lesson of the Russian Revolution is you cannot have revolution in one country. It'll start and it'll get snuffed out. That's what happened. So, number one, we should never make sure people understand the history of French Revolution and Russian Revolution. Second, we must make sure that we equate Russia, the Russian Revolution, with, guess what, Hitler. We must equate fascism with socialism, with capitalism. We have to confuse people, political confusion. Those three words must be confused. The average American doesn't even know what what those words mean at all, on the left or the right. This was deliberate. We must confuse these words. And the way they were going to do it in this meeting, Chomsky said, we can't really attack Lenin or the Russian Revolution because people have great respect for what the Russian Revolution. So we're going to attack Stalin. We're going to say Stalin killed 20 million people. Someone in the audience raised their hand. They said, Professor Chomsky, we don't have any evidence of that. Within a few minutes, after a pause, that person was escorted out by security. All right. It's just they, and then someone said, well, how are we going to tell people? Chomsky said, you just say, oh, you didn't know. You didn't know Stalin killed 20 million people. You just keep saying it. You just keep saying it. And the goal was we must equate the words fascism, socialism, and capitalism all together. We must put them all together so people don't even know what the hell they're talking about. And then we must create political confusion with one goal, which is what our movement is all about, truth and principles. We must make sure people have no more principles. They don't have any integrity anymore, any moral integrity to abide their lives by principles. So they would create the Republicans or the left or the right. The right would be, right, what's the right known for? We're pro-war, but we're against regulation, right? Broadly. And the left would be pro-regulation, against war. But what's really interesting is when it comes to abortion, one is for pro-abortion, killing people, and the other one's against abortion for putting regulations in. You see what I'm saying? You have Trump, who's the reason I'm glad Crystal played the Trump video. You played that Trump video. You have actually people excusing him. Like after you shared the facts. You shared the facts of Bernie Sanders. Well, Bernie had to do that because, you know, Bernie didn't have enough food to eat at the time and he was didn't scam somebody. Whatever, people make excuses. This again was designed. Oh, Joe Rogan had to say that. Oh, Tucker Carlson. Well, he didn't really mean that. I mean, these guys are fucking lying in your face. So they created among the American working class the lack of integrity to have principles. Wait a minute. Fucking Trump said that. He did that. Fuck him. All those truth and principles were removed, except in our movement. This is why we spent so much effort critiquing these fuckers. Because our movement is actually based on real principles. It's a bottoms-up movement. But do you understand this was engineered? It was all engineered. And this is why Michael will tell you, we have volunteers come up, they don't go through the training, and they say, well, why is Dr. Shiva cursing at people? Like, shut the fuck up. Bye-bye, leave. You didn't fucking read. You know, you didn't go through video number 12 and you didn't fucking answer the questions right. Bad student. Go back to kindergarten. That's what they want you. They want these people come in, woo-woo people and dilute movements. So we don't have a razor sharp edge. But this is all by design. So the left, so in this meeting, they said, we're going to make the left. Remember, there was a time the quote unquote left was about workers, unions, bottoms up movements. Well, the left, they said, must become all about identity politics. Black versus white, transgender, you know, so the working class would fight among each other. And the right would say the most outlandish things, right, that would get the left and the right fighting. And that's where we're at. But what I want to let you know is this was all designed by a think tank. And what I find quite fascinating is I knew this guy, okay? And I experienced it. And I'm brought back into a full circle. You know, that was 1983. Where are we now? 40 years later, in this meeting at 9:16 p.m., mobilizing people to build that bottoms-up movement. So I find it quite fortunate to have all of you guys here. But all of you leaders who are attempting to collect signatures and get people, you know what you're facing. Right, Rose? We just had that conversation. You call up people, but those of you who are here on this call and you are leaders in this movement, you are extraordinary human beings because you are at the tip of the spear of consciousness who get it. And our job is not to whine, but take it to another level of how do we get these people to move? This is the innovation. How do I create email? Oh, I got his code. I got to take innovation. We have to use our resourcefulness. We have to figure out how to move our fellow brothers and sisters, how to undemoralize them. That is the job at hand. That is the job. So I was speaking to one of our leaders in Pennsylvania. Oh, I can't get people. I said, Gerald, everyone is having this problem. Stop whining. Everyone is having this problem. But that is the problem that needs to be solved. You guys see what I'm saying? This is the problem that we need to solve. This is the problem of our time. And our movement has the tools to solve that problem. We have the science, the engineering, the people, and we're growing every day, step by step by step. And all of you who made it here, here's your homework assignment. Next open house, you guys, I want you guys to invite and bring three people here. Because you guys know when I do videos, people come to the open houses. My days are booked rock solid, either writing a lawsuit, educating our leaders, on the ground, collecting signatures. And sometimes I can't do videos. That's why we have our movement. So we met with our UK group. Invite three people. It's all in numbers. Everyone here needs to get off their butt and act. Action. Not just watch fucking videos. Not make excuses, because this is our lives. This is should be your job. Yeah, do your job to survive and make money and have a good life. But this should be the reason you exist, to fight evil. That's a job. This is a mission. That job should support this mission. Have your jobs. Be working people. I still have to work. I still have to do those things. And I do this. But that's why our movement is a bottoms-up workers movement. We really are. We all work for a living. Or we were retired and we worked. It's quite unique. So we have come up with a very clear message. And this is the message. This is a simple message. Everyone see this? This is the message that we will deliver. We're going to deliver this, hopefully, to every household on the planet. We need to wake the shit out of people up. They hate you. They hate you. Very simple message. The swarm, destroyed your health and stole your wealth. Here's the data, guys. It's right here. For 50 years of abuse, wages are down. If you look at the area under the curve, under the wages, you do a little bit of calculus, it comes down to $47 trillion. Cost of living is up and lifespan is down. What do you get when you look at this? They don't want you. They hate you. And only a bottoms-up movement of us working people can end this destruction. For 50 plus years, they intentionally, that's what I wanted to share this meeting and my experience, firsthand knowledge you're getting, intentionally distracted you from building that movement by demoralizing you into inaction and making you accept the lesser of evils. I'll read that again. Only a bottoms-up movement of working people can end this destruction. For 50 years, they intentionally distracted you from building that movement by demoralizing you into inaction with every fucking thing you can imagine they did to the American people. Pornography, you know, Hollywood, celebrity culture inundated you. So, and then when you were inactive, you just made an easy choice. Oh, I'll just accept the lesser of evils. You can go down the list. So when people vote for us in the United States, when people choose to come to our movement, they're saying they want a systems overhaul. And it's time to grow the bottoms-up movement. And then we have the swarm videos. We are going to get millions and millions. I would like to get one to every household in the United States. That is our mission at hand. And ultimately, one to every household in the world, 2 billion households. Nothing has changed. The graphs may be a little bit different. This is, you know, so I spent about 3 weeks getting those first three lines figured out. 3 weeks. Writing, rewriting, writing, because it had to match. The words match. Words matter. These guys know that. Only a bottoms-up movement of us working people can end this destruction. For 50-plus years, they intentionally distracted you from building that movement by demoralizing you into inaction and making you accept the lesser of evils. That's the reality. Period. And the only way out of this is our movement. Period. There isn't any other movement. I don't want to hear about any other movement because they haven't done shit. They don't do anything. So that's why we're here. So everyone here understand that if you made it this far, there's some of you who took the warrior course, learned this. Now to those of you who learned all this shit, your next growth is going to be, wow, I call people. People don't, that's where the growth is going to come from. How do we get those people to move? You see what I'm saying? That's the engineering problem that has to be solved. And we're going to solve it. We have to solve it. There is no other choice unless you want to lifespan down the world being taken over by technocrats. So I find myself in such a weird position, created email, went to this technology school. And you know, the day I stepped foot on MIT, I hated the fucking place. I got to tell you, I really loved art, working with my hands. It was like biting my lip. I went to that fucking place. But I decided at one point I would get all their degrees so one day I could fuck them up. I really did. I made that decision. So that's where we're here today, June 20th, Thursday, 9:23 p.m. EST. We're here. And we have created an incredible community of people. We just had a meeting with, 12 or 14, Nicholas, over the weekend. A really amazing young people who are coming up. The system doesn't create men anymore. It doesn't. It doesn't create great warriors. It creates pussies to be for pusillanimous, not something else. Okay? Short for that. That's what it's doing. Our movement has incredible women in it. Incredible women. Women get a lot of this because they've been abused for many, many years and they've had to fight. But we have an incredible opportunity because we have cracked the code on what these guys are up to. They do not want a bottoms-up movement. And the only solution is building a bottoms-up movement. There's no secret. One of our friends who'd been in our movement, took time off to have a kid, came back, and she's a marketer. She's saying, well, if we do this and that and this and that, she's trying to figure out all this stuff. And I said, Jennifer, there is no secret here. You have to get out and you have to hand out flyers. You have to help us collect signatures. You have to educate people. There's no other shortcut. The secret is there is no fucking secret. It's just work. And working people know how to work, but we just have to awaken ourselves to recognize that we have to do the work. And our job is every victory we get is going to inspire people, small and large. We get on a ballot in a state. In Utah, we just got on the ballot. We had to fight tooth and nail for that. Did we not, Crystal? We were the first there. They tried to keep us off. But you know what? We fucking did it. We didn't give one inch. Most people to run away. But you had two immigrant mentality kids, me and Crystal. We had a lot of people helping us, but we come from immigrant backgrounds where you do not fucking give up because you have no place to go. And we have to have that attitude. We have to have an immigrant attitude here. Everyone in America is an immigrant, and they're trying to pit immigrants against natives. It's bullshit. Everyone here is an immigrant, but immigrants are about resourcefulness. You figure how to get shit done. And every ballot we get on, every state, I'm telling you, it's going to inspire people. By the way, Kennedy's only on the ballot in six states. With all this fucking money, he couldn't get 15% polling. You give me all of his money, we would have gotten 50% polling. It's not money. It's about us coming together and understanding this dynamic of the very conscious way that they have done everything to obliterate bottoms-up movements. So to those of you who are new, welcome. But you better go through the fucking course and you better take it if you made it this far. You have to. And you have to take it again and you have to be part of this and join this movement. You're going to meet incredible people. Those of you who are leaders, your next task is how do you motivate people? How do you get them? I mean, it's innovation, you know? I just spent yesterday with Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. We've come up with some methods. We have to be innovative. We have to be a clever monkey. We have to get smart. But that is the job at hand. In that, by the way, that card I just gave you, showed you, is just 3.5 by 2 inch. But that's going to be a weapon. It's like we're firing bullets all day at him. That's a piece of weaponry. And that's what we're going to use. So all of you out there, homework assignment, bring, I don't care who you talk to people, tell them to come to the open house. We made it really easy. We have cards. And these cards are going to go out and start giving them out. We're going to launch it in New York, in Florida, and Texas. We got incredible leaders there who are ready to go. We're finishing up signatures. We must get on the ballot in some of the critical states we're looking at. And overseas, we have an opportunity with a similar card like this. We got to put blinders on and get these cards out over and over and over again. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be repetition because people have been inundated, demoralized into inaction. And by you doing it, by you handing out, you inspire people. You really do. That's the job. There is no secret. But let me end by saying we have an incredible framework. And every day, our infrastructure grows. Every day. And so you have the luxury of having that infrastructure that we didn't have 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 20 years ago. So I invite all of you to, you know, really reflect on what I've shared, that these people want to demoralize you into inaction and our movement inspires you to act. So do a simple action, invite three people, hand out a card, help us get signatures. But for God's sakes, don't sit on the sidelines and watch us do the work, because that's exactly what they want you to do. And when things get hard, don't get demoralized. That's what they want you to become. We figure things out. We huddle. We figure things out. And we keep moving forward step by step by step by step. That's the goal. There's no other secret. That's it. Thank you, everyone. We'll take questions. Trey, you can keep it going there. You can, if you want, minimize the window. But let's introduce some new people who are here. Let me look at who we got. Crystal, do you want to select them? Those, you want to tell people what the how they click on the link to join us?
Sure. Those who are new, kindly introduce yourself by raising your hand. You can do that by moving your mouse on a laptop or computer, or if you're on a phone, tap your screen. There's a reactions button with a little smiley face emoji that will appear at the bottom bar. Click on that and then just hit raise hand.
So we have Ruth Davis. Is she with Ruth? You look new. How are you? Can you unmute? Ruth Davis? We have little bit raised hand, little bit. Little bit. So introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and how you found our movement. Go ahead. Oops, little bit. You just unmuted and you went back.
Am I unmuted now?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. Where are you from?
Florida. I'm from Northport, Florida, southern part.
Uh-huh. Do you know Bonnie Jones there?
No, I might know her. Because my friend from high school, we've been friends since high school, Carol Davenport, she brought me in.
Oh, great. I think Carol's here. Carol, do you want to say hello?
Yes. Hi, Chris. I'm excited that you're here. Thank you for showing up. You're going to be excited about this because it is us, the working people, that need to get this moving, and we have to learn how to motivate people somehow, just like Dr. Shiva said, because we can't complain, just got to move on, because it's been too many years of people being blinded, being busy, being ignorant to things because they were too busy working in their lives. You know it, and I know it. Okay, now I'll be, thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you for coming. You're welcome.
Shiva, what stood out to me, one of the things you said was how they put us in a position where we have to choose the lesser of two evils. That hit real home to me because that's what I felt about Trump and Biden.
Yeah, well, now they have multiple evils. You can add booby to that, too. So it's a lesser of evils, multiple evils. So they try to confuse it by putting in a Kennedy when he's probably as evil as it gets.
And in my day, I still got to learn about history, and it was one of my favorite subjects.
Uh-huh.
You know? But nowadays, they don't teach it.
Nope. They don't teach history at all. It's not even mandatory.
Nope.
All right, little bit. So I just can someone connect little bit, or Carol, maybe you can with Bonnie or Andrew, but it's good to have you. Get involved and help us start handing out cards a little bit and invite three other people to come next week.
Okay.
Great.
Yep. This is Bonnie here. I just want to say welcome. I look forward to being in touch with you. Please get my contact from Carol, and I'd be happy to work with you. I'm excited to have you join us. So thank you.
Yeah, so Bonnie, what you can do is, I don't know if you, so if someone gets little bits of information to Carol, that'd be great. I mean, Bonnie, that'd be great. Let's go to Ray Thompson. Go ahead, Ray. Ray Thompson, can you unmute? Hi, Ray, how are you?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Shiva. Ray Thompson here from Panama City, Florida. You know my son, Garen, I believe.
Is that your son?
Contact with him.
Yeah, your son's awesome.
I've been listening to you as often as I can.
You always share stuff about you.
Yeah.
You're the famous
one. Me and him go back and forth, but I'm happy that he's at least interested and on his path that he's doing. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here, sir. Where do you live now? Are you in Florida?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Panama City.
All right. Well, we have a lot of people down in Florida if you want to connect with. And I hope you stay connected and be involved, because I think your journey can actually help others. So good to have you.
Yes, sir. I really care about our nation, and absolutely, we need a dramatic change. I completely agree with Garen and you. I mean, we really need a complete overhaul of what we got.
Yeah, that's why this card says that. You see, time for a systems overhaul. When you look at this card and you look at how lifespan is going like this. And it's not something that just happened. It's been something that's been happening over a long period of time. And this is why the lesser of evils is how they manipulated all of this. So people would choose a lesser of evils and they would not act. We have one of our volunteers who goes out, and he gives out cards or he tries to get signatures. And he says, you'll see two people. They'll say, yeah, everything is said right, but what to do? What can you do? And another set of people choosing Biden or Trump. And that's how they've gotten people, right? So that's the opportunity we have, because 70% of people, when you look at the actual data in the United States, 70% of people fall into three groups who are one of us. Either they no longer even register to vote, and we've done the numbers in different states, the leaders will tell you, or they register to vote and half of them don't even bother voting, at least 30% on a minimum. And then of those people who decide to vote, 50% of registered independents, which means they don't really believe in any one of these guys. So if you're out on a street corner, 70% of the chance people are going to stop by and want to listen to something truly alternative. But we have to go get on the ground and do that. But that's why they have to distract us. You see, there's more of us than them. So the only way to keep the rats chasing their tails is to distract us. Good to have you, Ray.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Say hello to Garen. All right, so we got some other people I see here. So Jeannie Yamamoto. Jeannie, how are you? Jeannie Yamamoto. Can you kindly unmute?
Yes. Hi. Hi, Dr. Stevens.
How are you? Where are you out of, Jeannie?
We're in Flagstaff, Arizona, and every day I envision you in the Oval Office.
Okay, thank you very much. That's wonderful. And, it's a great vision.
And we're contacting personal friends as well as, you know, everyone who will, you know, who will stop to listen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and most people are in this demoralized state. And so when they see people excited, I agree with you. It's invigorating for them. So I appreciate all the training you give us. This is just wonderful.
That's why, Jeannie, I think getting out this card is going to be really important, because this card is like a mirror in people's face. That's what this card is, because it says you were demoralized into inaction. So I think all of you, you know, reflecting on what we talked about and using this instrument that we've created is really, really going to help people. And you know, overseas, we're going to have a very, very similar card. The message doesn't change that much even overseas. But it's good to have you.
Well, I want to thank you. And in our neighborhood, there's a lot of dog walking. So I use my mailbox as a Dr. Shiva placard.
Oh, awesome.
and with a few, you know, bullet points, because people's attention spans are kind of short.
Right. Well, that's why we created that card. But so what GD is really saying is, I know Jewel works and he wears his t-shirt. We have to figure out many, many ways. We have to unleash our own creativity to get our message out there. And we have to let 1,000 flowers bloom, because all of you collectively unleashing your own innovation and how we get our message out there, we'll have cards, we'll create tools, but that's how we win.
That's right. Well, I'm just going to consider you President Shiva from this point. I've always thought of you that way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Jeannie. Very nice to have you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Julie Ellis. Julie, you're not related to Crystal, are you? Julie, how are you? Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Good. Where are you out of?
I spoke before. I was speaking with Rebecca this morning and with the hub. So.
Oh, okay. Are you in Ohio?
Yeah, Ohio.
Okay. All right. Good to have you.
I will say I had my husband, I was telling Rebecca this morning that I had my husband take the signature pages into, you know, the guys at work, and they've seen the Trump video, but I don't think they're ready to admit to themselves the reality, the hard truth.
Yeah.
And, but they did sign, you know, for me. And then I know Rebecca said, well, you see if any of them, you know, their friends or in, I just felt bad because I just don't think it's going to happen, but there's other opportunities elsewhere. But the cards, I wanted to ask you, I was trying to figure out how, I was trying to find your new card. Do you have that new card ready?
No, it's going to be up. What we're going to do is first we're going to give it to New York, Florida, but we'll get the both cards are going to go up tonight. So they're going to be up tonight.
Great.
On Shiva's President. So you guys can all use them. Great. So we have, let's see.
Looks like there's a Marin that might be new. I don't recognize. And a Ryan. I don't know if it's Shakit. Yep. And Ruth, like you saw, Dabish and Roman, maybe?
Yeah. So Ruth, Dabish, can you kindly say hello? Ruth Dabish? Did you unmute her? Okay. Unmute. Ruth? Okay. Why don't we open it up to questions?
Okay. And anyone have questions on tonight's topic? Raise your hand just the same way. I don't see anything.
All right. Well, there you go. Garen, go ahead. Garen, your dad's here. Garen, go ahead. Oops, we have to unmute Garen. Garen Thompson, go ahead.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Hey, Garen, how are you?
Doing good, man. I'm glad my father actually got a chance to make it out, even though it was a bit late. He missed the message, but I'm glad you actually recorded it this time because I really wanted him to hear this lesson about like what your experience in life, especially with the whole Noam Chomsky and stuff. But like I said, you got it recorded, so he'll listen to it later. But what?
You're going in and out, Garen.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wanting you to see if you'd be willing to answer that same question again this morning, just for the audience for tonight to hear.
Yeah, why don't you ask that question again? Yeah, so Garen asked a really good question. Go ahead, Garen, this morning.
So a lady is like hung up that I was speaking with yesterday about signing because she's wanting to know, like, would you put God back in school? And I was like, you know what? I've never really thought about that. I was like, you should come on and ask, but obviously she's not here. So I said, I figured I'd ask that, like, what would your stance be on putting God back into our schools? Since back in the Kennedy era, they actually took the whole prayer and everything, 1962, along with the Kennedy Vaccination Act.
Yeah, look, so it's a very good question. So you have, so one of the reasons, you know, when the United States, everyone, if you go back to the history of the United States, these people who came here were facing religious persecution, right? In Europe, because they were following different religions. So one of the founding tenets of the United States was a freedom of religion that's embodied in the First Amendment. And which means you could practice whatever religion you want. I mean, you may not agree with people, but you have the right to practice whatever religion you want. There's Scientologists, there's Hindus, there's Muslims, there's people who pray to a frog. I don't know, whatever religion you want, you can create a church. You really can in the United States. So this concept of people being have a diversity of beliefs is quite extraordinary. And the United States was founded on that. So this concept of that was a foundational concept. Now, so you have that over here. People can have whatever view they want of whatever they believe is a creator, or they can even be atheists if they want, right? You don't get persecuted for that in the United States. In other countries, you do, right? You have to be a particular religion or you get discriminated against that. So that was one of the founding principles. But if you put that over here, and then you look at something called values of people, like how they live their lives, what do they hold dear, right? Hard work or being noble, being of service to other people, right? Fighting evil, whatever that is, that's over here. It doesn't mean these values are in any of these religious beliefs. And in fact, someone could be in one of these religious clubs, whatever you want to call them. They may purport to have these values, but they don't even practice them. So the issue is, should the government, how does a government itself reflect values? Like these, whatever you call these noble values. So that's really the fundamental question. How does a government or government leaders espouse these values that I would say most of humanity likes, right? Truth, freedom, health, right? Good things. Well, the leaders in a country reflect the consciousness of the people. Kept saying that. Our leaders reflect our consciousness. So if we think imposing a particular religion or imposing a particular set of practices into a state is going to make us a better country, that's never going to happen. Things have to come from below. So the notion that values of people are going to come from above is never going to happen. Now, once we get that, then you start looking at the world and you start asking yourself, well, how come those people have these values and those people have these different values? And I gave the example to Garen and my mom 2 weeks before she died. She had pulmonary fibrosis. And it's really weird. She's always working. And I said, so what do you think happens when you die? And she turned to me. She goes, I've been working too hard, Shiva. I've never even had a time to think about that. But she was one of the most kindest people I knew. She'd help anyone that she could get a hold of. She never even thought about religion. So you look at the broad mass of hardworking people, the broad mass of them. And if you look at their struggles, how they live their lives and conduct their lives, that value system is not, you know, in the small set of elites. who may be very religious. They may go to the mosques and they may go to church and they may go here typically to do networking, to do business deals, by the way. That's my view. Okay. Rarely do they go there to really, you know, serve God. But nonetheless, these people's values and these people's values, I have found very, very different. And you can ask yourself. So even, and I shared, there was a woman in Germany on the call this morning. If you go to Germany, there were Jews and Gentiles who were of the working class, who were among the 2.5 million in the bottoms-up trade unions in Germany. They didn't like Hitler. And then there were Jews of the Jewish faith who were bankers and who were completely in alignment with Hitler, and they were Zionists, and they collaborated with him. So my view is that the founders were very, very clear on the separation of church and state. But if we want values, it's working people are the ones who should run the world, because we actually have real values. These people have values which go like this. My personal integrity and my public integrity are two different things. Who said that? Booby fucking Kennedy, quote unquote. Which means they're telling you, yeah, I will act all religious and I'll pray so devoutly, but I'll go screw little kids. And by the way, Trump's right-hand religious advisor yesterday was found to be banging a 12-year-old girl. But that's okay. That's all right. We forgive that. You see, I don't think these people with religious values should be imposing their will in government. It should be a government of the people, by the people. And if the people are righteous people, the governance system will reflect that. But if the people keep being demoralized and made inactive and choose the lesser of evils, you're going to get evil. And they may pray and they may talk about bringing in God, God, God. 99% of the people who talk about God are the most ungodly people I found. That's my experience. And the people who don't talk about God are the most godly people I've found. They just do the work. So that's my answer, Garen, that I think it's good we have separation of church and state. And I think the issue is who is going to govern this world? We the people or a small set of people who demoralize us in action and keep giving us, you know, the lesser of multiple evils. Let's go over to Judith in Canada. Go ahead, Judith.
Hi, Dr. Shiva.
Hi, Judith.
So last week we had the Canada Summit.
Yep.
And I had someone asked me because I do some calls, you know, and he said I couldn't make it at the Canada Summit. He says, is there a replay that he could listen as it?
Yeah, I think, Glenn, I don't know if we recorded, but we're going to do another one. Glenn, I don't know if you saw my note. I wanted to huddle with you this weekend and give you the flyer. There's just one couple of questions I had. But I think we should do a follow-up next week, Glenn, or the week after, probably hopefully next week, if you're open to it.
Yep.
Yeah, so what I would do, Judith, is invite him to the next one. Great. Let's go over to Barbara. Barbara, is it a question?
Well, yes. Well, kind of. It's about the annual homecoming. I can't emphasize enough how important it would be if it would be possible that we could have a truth, freedom, health float in that parade. This is going to be the best opportunity to reach my people. And if we could have a table set up selling truth, freedom, health gear, those t-shirts, love thy neighbor, love America, the one about the Second Amendment, I think those would go over well. But at the same time, I need people, if they're able to come here and help me collect signatures. There's going to be hundreds of people at that parade.
Yeah, so Barbara, so I think I mentioned to you this morning, we should have a meeting with me, you, and Sonia, because there are 900 people in North Carolina in the database, and we've only contacted only 90 of them, had conversations. So there's another 810 people we haven't even had conversations with in North Carolina who are in our database. So I would suggest that, you know, that list of people we contact and get them over there. But let's do a follow-up, as I said, with me, you, and Barbara tomorrow.
Okay, one more thing really quickly. I think system science, your system science course would be more beneficial taught in school than religion, because religion is responsible for the most innocent bloodshed on earth. And actually, your movement and your course has helped me more than religion ever did, because you actually gave me solutions and you're actually doing things to help me, Dr. Shiva, that you're not aware of. But once we get time, I want to write you a letter and let you know about it, because it's just wonderful. I can't thank you enough. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, if you read the first page of System and Revolution, it says, you know, heaven on earth. And a friend of mine who's a biblical scholar, he said something interesting. He goes, you know, the entire purpose of the Bible, and he goes, a lot of the Christians get this wrong. And he says, you know, he studied this very carefully as a Christian, was to create heaven right here about how we live our lives. And people forget this. So the science that we teach literally does intersect these two worlds. It intersects the spiritual, quote unquote, the spiritual worlds of yoga, medicine, ancient sciences with the realms of engineering science. That's what we've cracked. So at a very fundamental level, we are connecting these two realms and taking away this division. We're saying you can't have your personal integrity be having prostitutes and banging them while your wife's in the other room. I'm talking about Trump. And then coming out and acting, oh, I'm a nice, wonderful, nice person, right? Personal integrity and public integrity have to be united. These people live their lives where they're different and they're trying to convince people it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's not okay. You have to look at these people's lives, how they live their lives, how they earn or steal other people's money. And you'll find out most of them are working by stealing other people's money. So I want to, once again, all of you here, you got to have great respect for what you're doing. All of you worked very hard in your lives. You work today. You're sacrificing stuff and you're doing this. It's quite extraordinary. So I really want you to reflect on what you're doing. And this is what the swarm does not want you to value. And we will hit these roadblocks with getting other people out of their inactivity. But that is the opportunity. That is where we're at. That is where we're at. Matt Stoneham, and then we'll wrap up. And let me see. I got Trey here. Trey, do anyone have any questions? Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Dr. Shiva, thank you for this incredible message. I just wanted to share a technique that I used to use. I built a lawn care business when I was 13 years old. And one of the ways I got flooded with phone calls was doing driveway drops. So I was just suggesting that the idea for these new cars, they're awesome new design there. So we could put these little pebbles that go in fish tanks inside of a baggie and then have two friends, one in the passenger seat, and you just drop them in driveways. So I used to do that and I'd have tons of phone calls and we call them driveway drops. And I ended up winning the best lawn care business in Nashville 2 times because of how well known the business was and stuff like that. But it was a great marketing technique that we could use here as well, for sure.
Wow. So what are you saying? You take the car, you attach a little pebble, and then you throw it as you're into the driveway?
Yeah. So we'd sit at the house at first with the little pebbles that go in fish tanks.
Yeah, I know those. Yeah.
Pebbles, you can get them at Walmart.
Yeah.
And you put them in a sandwich bag, the smallest one that you can that fits the card in it. And then you fill up a cardboard box or whatever in your car. And then you got someone in the side. You throw out 1,000 in like an hour. So you may hit a whole family, though. You could have it sit on the dinner table for 4 or 5 days and everyone in the house sees it. So you could hit 5,000 people, maybe more, in just one afternoon.
Yeah. So
just
Matt,
thinking
Matt,
like a numbers.
Yeah. So it's a numbers game and it's innovation. You see, Kennedy could, with all the money he raised, $20 million, he's only on 6 ballots. All these people just take their money. They don't have to fight ever anything. They don't have to be resourceful. So Matt, that's a brilliant idea. You have to understand that this is what they don't want us to do. They don't want us using our brains for ourselves, being innovative like this. So, Matt, let's talk about that, me, you, and Nicholas, okay? How to execute that.
I'm definitely going to get at it. I was hoping to get everybody else too. And let's get millions out there, like you said, at every door. We could actually do that with that technique. Maybe it is slow talking to one person at a time, but if you can get 1,000 out per person per day in numbers, we can get that done very quick.
Exactly.
And I got plenty of phone calls. My reason sharing it is because I've actually used it and it does work for sure. Of course, it isn't 100% response, but for something like this, that message that makes you look right in your face, there's not even anyone else that you could disgruntle and say, I'm with Trump. It's in your face. Sorry. There you go.
Yeah. The message they hate you is the message of our times. You got to tell them they hate you. What are you talking about? Trump fucking hates you. He won't even let you into Mar-a-Lago. He hates you. Everything he does is an act. Biden hates you. Booby really hates you. Try to go into the Hyannis Port compound. Everyone should read Maureen Callahan's book that's about to come out. She destroys the Kennedys. You know, we shouldn't be talking about the murder of JFK. We should be talking about the murder of Marilyn Monroe. That's what we really should be talking about. How did she die? Who did it? Booby Senior or JFK? You know, and all these people, you know, we want to release the JFK files. I just saw this thing. There were 7 billionaires, you know, who are sucking up to Trump talking about, are you going to release the JFK files? I mean, they're talking about irrelevant shit. Who cares about the JFK files? Why don't we talk about lifespan going down, wages going down, and cost of living going up? They don't want to talk about that. It's all distraction. Matthew, great idea. All right, everyone. I want to, Trey, are there any interesting comments that you want to share? Trey?
All good, Dr. Sheep.
All right, any questions on social media? Or I'm going to sign off. 2 minutes. All right, everyone. I hope this is valuable. Be well, be the light, get involved. Those of you on social media, Trey, you may just want to put up that they can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, become a warrior scholar, get involved. It's a way that you're contributing to us, but you're contributing to yourself. Trey, as we close out there on social media, just play the Shiva for President video, okay? Thanks, Trey, and then sign off. All right, everyone, thank you. Be well, get involved. Thanks.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement, all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.